rhetorics that's being used around this is very unconvincing. I mean, for example, comparing Martin McGuinness to Nelson Mandela, I think, you know, Martin McGuinness may be a very fine person in some ways. He is not Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela had no military control over the armed campaign that the ANC ran. South Africa was not Northern Ireland, but everybody knows that Nelson Mandela was on Robben Island in prison for almost
Nelson Mandela was on Robben Island because he refused to accept peaceful means towards his goals.
He insisted on the legitimacy of the armed struggle.
That's why he was
Nelson Mandela, the leading figure, a controlling figure in Nkonte Bisiwe. He was not. No, he was not.
In any case, it was the principle of the thing, that comparison.
No, it's not the principle of the thing. Actually,
of course it was the principle of the thing. I'm telling you, that's what the comparison I was making it on the principle of the thing.
I'm not taking part in
Adams and McGuinness.
Hold on. Okay.
The point that was made about Eamon de Valera, for example. Eamon de Valera probably, almost certainly, never fired a shot in anger. Eamon de Valera was involved in the 1916 rising in a place called Boland's Mills. There was no fighting at all in Boland's Mills. We know that de Valera didn't fire a single shot during Easter week. Subsequently, his role was political. He spent
Is that why he was condemned to death?
He spent most of the... He was condemned to death for his role as one of the leaders of the 1916 rising.
The IRA.
Saying he did not take part in any of the fighting, and that's a matter of historical record.
All right.
You can go look at it. But let me say, no, just one final point. If Eamon de Valera was guilty of war crimes and he was running for president today, that has to be an issue. You cannot, you see, people are saying, and we've had people saying, look, dirty stuff happens in war. The Geneva Convention was forged after the struggle against the Nazis, one of the most existential struggles that humanity has ever been through. And in the wake of that, people said, even in the struggle against Nazis, you are not allowed to murder civilians. You are not allowed to kidnap people. You are not allowed to torture.
That happens all the time.
These standards apply to the conflict in Northern Ireland.
Let me let you Combs respond to you, Finn.
I think, I mean, this thing about the Geneva Convention, you have to apply it across the board or else not at all.
Yes, I completely agree with you.
Then civilians in Vietnam, civilians in Iraq, civilians in Afghanistan.
Yes, I completely agree with you.
Of hundreds, thousands of civilians. Listen, the point is, and it has been acknowledged by Adams, McGuinness, and a number of other Republicans, suffering was inflicted by all sides. The IRA, the UDR, the British Army, just as happened in the 1920s.
Okay, here's an anonymous caller now.
How do we bridge those divisions? You talked, Fintan, about asking questions, and you're absolutely right. That's your job.
All right, well, there are plenty of our callers at home.
Can I finish the point I'm making?
Very quickly, Jude.
Right. Martin McGuinness has done sterling work, and everybody knows this, with Ian Paisley, with Peter Robinson.
Yep.
Beyond this point of simply business, he's now an Irishman. He's put himself forward for election. The Irish people of the South, we don't have a vote, the Irish people of the South will decide, not assorted pundits. They set themselves up as
the
moral arbiters
of journalism
is right and wrong and what the Irish people
should do. The role of journalism is to raise questions and attempt to inform the
public. Yes, and ask questions in all areas.
Stop shouting me down.
Simply to
exclusively
focus on the name.
I'm sorry, I'm leaving the program. I can't.
Okay.
I'm not being allowed to make any.
What is your final point you'd like to make, Finn? John, morning to you, John.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Listen, unfortunately, Fenton's away there. He threw hissy fit and hung up. But a question to him, if he's bringing in Geneva Conventions and stuff like that. Obviously, Savile was there, and we welcome the Savile report. But if we look at it, it points to the killing of civilians. No, the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, is the head of that regiment. Is he going to apply the Geneva Convention there? Is he going to pursue British government officials for the shooting dead of children with plastic bullets, Carol and Kelly, Julie Livingstone? Is he going to pursue them for the importation of arms to armed loyalist death squads who killed countless civilians? He's taken a very one-sided approach to this. He's very anti-Sinn Féin. He's very anti-Republican. And he's been exposed. And unfortunately, he hung up and he's not able to answer this question.
John, thank you for your call this morning. Gregory, on the issue that was brought up earlier on about Martin McGuinness still being paid as Deputy First Minister, what's your view on that?
Well, you know, some people try to make the comparison between Martin McGuinness stepping aside and Peter Robinson stepping aside. Now, of course, the distinction is that circumstances that Peter Robinson stepped aside weren't of his own making. You can't say that about Martin McGuinness unless you know, Sinn Féin frog marched him down to hand in his nomination papers. I think that there is an issue about how the Deputy First Minister's office will function in the in his absence. If, for example, his temporary replacement were to simply pile up the pending tray for 6 weeks until Martin McGuinness returns or a successor takes over.
That's not
that would be totally unacceptable.
Well, they haven't said they're going to do that.
No, obviously they're not going to say we're not going to take any decisions for 6 weeks. They're not going to say that. But no, I think, Stephen, a key point here that I don't think has been mentioned yet is this. Martin McGuinness yesterday used the term West Brit. I think, maybe I mentioned it in passing. But that's a derogatory term that I know many people in the Republic take exception to. Now, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and I'm sure there will be over the next 6 weeks, of Martin McGuinness's past, and rightly so, because he has declared what he hasn't done. You know, he said he was he was cross-examined by a journalist who said that he rejoiced in the murder of 6 or 8 soldiers or whatever, and that was nonsense. He said when he was in the witness stand in the Stabell inquiry that he didn't carry a machine gun, he wasn't involved in any violence, and he pleaded the Fifth Amendment when anybody asked him about his involvement. So he's been fairly clear about what he didn't do when he was in the IRA. I just wish he would be as clear about what he did do. Now, over the course of the next 6 weeks, the people in the Republic will have the opportunity, as is their wont in their country, to decide who they want as their president. And now, that's a decision that they have to
and
make.
If
now,
Martin McGuinness, well, this is important. If Martin McGuinness was prepared to give full disclosure, would you be happy with him having full immunity?
Well, it would depend on what the circumstances were in which he gives full disclosure. I mean, he couldn't just say, here's a precondition, I'll tell everything that I know and what I was involved in on a certain range of preconditions, and only then will I disclose.
Would you support the principle of a truth commission in which someone like Martin McGuinness was given full immunity?
Well, there's a very straight answer to that statement, and the answer is no. And this is the reason why. In the recent past, every time there has been an inquiry, whether it's Savile or any of the other inquiries, what has always been the sole focus of attention is what was the attitude and what were the actions of the police and the army. Never under any circumstances has it been the case up until now that the same spotlight has been shown on the activities of the people who started the violence, whose actions were the cause of the army going into the bogside in the first place on Bloody Sunday, whose actions were the cause of police having to fire plastic bullets or whatever the case was.
Well, a lot of people would disagree with what happened, wouldn't they?
Well, I mean, it's very simple. It's cause and effect, Stephen. Had there been no violence by the IRA, there would have been no army on the street.
So let me get this right.
That's very simple.
So let me get this right. You expect Martin McGuinness to open up, give full disclosure, and you don't see any circumstance in which he could ever be given full immunity?
No, I'm not saying either of those things. It's a matter for him and a matter for the people in the Republic to decide.
I'm talking about immunity. Can you see any circumstances in which someone like Martin McGuinness, let's focus on him, would be given full immunity from prosecution if he revealed all?
That option and that possibility up until now hasn't even been mooted as a process by which Martin McGuinness could salve his conscience, if that's possible. No, nobody has even mooted that. So you're asking me to respond definitively now to your suggestion that it's plucked out of the ether now.
It's not plucked out of the ether. You've been calling
When was it discussed before today?
You've been calling for Martin McGuinness to reveal his past for a long time. You have heard discussions about a truth commission. For a man that talks about it quite a lot, you must have thought about it. Are there any circumstances in which you would ever contemplate giving Martin McGuinness full immunity and what you get back is full disclosure?
Well, we'll have to see what that means, Stephen. I mean, at the moment, under the 98 agreement, even if Martin McGuinness were to own up to whatever activities he was engaged in the past, the degree of immunity that he would get is almost total anyway, because he wouldn't spend any more than 2 years in jail, no matter how heinous and horrendous the crimes were. But it would help if we knew. He's moved on, obviously, beyond that. He's now trying blandishment where the organization tried bombing before. Now, I suppose you're better to be blandished than to be bombed. But he needs to get the picture. He's not going to make any further progress under this regime than he did under the old. You know, the West Brits, as he calls people who are British in Ireland, we're here to stay.
Morning,
and
Bob.
We're not going away.
Morning, Bob. Bob's not there. Jerry. Morning, Jerry.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead, Jerry.
What I see 50 years from now is Martin McGuinness will be up there with Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King. Is that important to Irish politics? I also have one question for the Rangers, loving Gregory there. Would he be interested in applying himself for the post? The whole of the West Bank of Derry would get behind you and vote you in, just to get rid of you. I wonder, could you put that to him?
Well, you see, Stephen, there's an old saying, and the old saying is that the truth hurts. The truth does hurt. Now, as I said about Martin McGuinness before, the Republican movement spent the first 30 years of their campaign trying to bomb us into oblivion.
Hold on.
That didn't work. They've now changed that attitude, and that's good, right, and proper that they should. Some people seem to think that some of us believe they haven't changed their attitude. They have. They have changed, and that's good. But see, the new regime, it won't work either. Now, they need to waken up and to realise that and to work in the new regime.
Okay.
We're all in the new era together. Let's work Northern Ireland and the Republic, the two separate countries, together. And if the Republic choose Martin McGuinness with all his baggage, entirely a matter for them. And then the new era can begin with
okay.
him and the Republic.
All right. One last call.
The hand of friendship.
One last
and
call.
Doing all that he does.
One last call. Bob, morning to you, Bob.
Morning, Stephen. It's just the Gregory Campbell saying there that they wouldn't sit down with Sinn Féin until they accepted the police service. Sinn Féin would only accept the police force when it was annihilated, and it's their police force. When I say their police force, a police force that they have nearly control of. The Royal Ulster Constabulary were the sacrificial lambs on the altar for this whole system
okay.
that's in place now. And they had to go.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Bob, thank you very much indeed. Gregory Campbell, nice to talk to you this morning. And let me thank Jude Coles and Fintan O'Toole as well. 7 minutes now to 10 o'clock.